Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, good morning, Portland. It's just about time to get your day started right here with Dusty Cam. On 1080 The Fan. We'll get up and get started. It's time for Dusty Cam. Just around 6, shower, shave, and coffee. It's time to get that sports fix. Bring a case of the Mondays, then there's Would You Rather, just a little bit of awkward. So tune in live today. It's Dusty and Kale.
Which one's crusty and which one's dusty?
My sports package is huge now.
Where are you at, brother?
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
I'm ready to crush your dreams in the morning.
Lighten up, Cam.
You don't even have a barn.
Would have built one just for you.
Yo, love you, dog.
I love you.
It's time for Dusty and Cam.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Good morning, happy Wednesday to you, the 20th of January, 2021. It is a palindrome day, and as the resident palindrome, happy palindrome day. Last time in 1,000 years we'll get this. 1-20-21. How about that for data?
I don't know what a palindrome. Good morning, everybody.
You don't
everybody.
Know what a palindrome is?
Say it again.
Palindrome.
I actually don't know what it is.
It's not in my repertoire.
Something is the same ways frontwards as backwards.
So like a Studebaker. Studebaker was a car that was designed to look like it was the same from the front and also from the back.
Nope, it's a word.
But it's along the same concept, right?
Like Hera. Yep, palindrome. My last name is one. Race car. You can spell it same way frontwards as backwards. That is a palindrome. And today's date, a palindrome. So take that. That's knowledge.
Does that have any use in anything?
Nope.
It just seems like kind of an out there kind of occurrence. Like it doesn't really serve a greater purpose.
No, it is.
I'm not equating your name to that.
Well,
you
know. Oh, no, it's true. Yeah, you should, Will. You should. You should. It's a super weird thing. I didn't even know that they had a word for it. Apparently, I missed that week of school when I was a kid until somebody in college was like, oh, your name's a palindrome. I was like, I have no idea what that means.
You were too busy frosting your tips.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
I was curling my mullet during the palindrome.
Curling
your
mullet.
You know the mullets are massive, by the way?
Yes.
Are huge.
They're
Please
back.
Tell me how that happened. How did that occur? And now I don't think it's huge here in Portland, but on the outskirts.
Oh, no, it is.
No. I mean, like in Portland proper. Nobody's walking around in mullets in downtown Portland.
Oh, they are.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
When's the last time you've been to downtown Portland?
There are some ladies that rock the mullet.
No, really. When's the last time you've
last
been in?
Last week.
You walked downtown.
Well, it depends on where you call downtown.
That's brave of you.
Are you talking?
I'm talking across the river.
Oh, on the east side? I don't cross the river unless I absolutely have to. But you find mullets, like the mullets are everywhere.
Like where the Apple store is. Is that Apple store even open?
Yeah, that's on this side
of
the river, by the way.
No, I know it's on that. But when I say crossing the river, I'm specifically saying when you're on I-5 and you're driving through,
you cross
the river.
If you go down towards like Pioneer Square area where the Apple store is, where I was.
Yeah.
Yes, you will see mullets galore, which, by the way, mulletsgalore.com is fan. Fantastic. They're trendy mullets.
I've noticed it in the young,
yeah.
A lot of in the youth, a lot of, and first of all, the flow in baseball is spectacular, but hair in general, you know, I know there was a time in the 70s when it really got, and then the 80s kind of tightened, the 80s it tightened up a little bit. There was some, it didn't because hair bands were big, but I'm talking about in general, there was a lot of tight hair from the 50s and 60s. You know, mm-hmm. athletes didn't do that. Then all of a sudden the 70s and 80s came in, it was back to big hair. Mm-hmm. And now, then it tightened up through the 90s, and then now it's back. The flow on athletes and the flow, and it's just there. It's huge. Man. So I'm uber jealous. I am.
This is sad. The website mulletsgalore.com is no longer.
I think they got in trouble because they took so many pictures of random people and they got in trouble. Like you couldn't do, it's like the Walmart pictures.
What the hell?
You can't
that's
do
internet,
that.
Man. That's what the internet is.
Well, you can't do that and post it and then sell it. Mm. You gotta have rights.
Keep it up there, bro. Just keep the great mullet pictures alive. That was great. They had all the names for the mullets. You had the Kentucky Waterfall, Alabama Mudflap. Right.
That one and the People of Walmart was also Skullet. A good one. I don't think that one's up anymore.
That too. Gone too? That.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Oh, damn.
You can't solicit pictures of people without their permission.
Wow. Yeah, mullets are back. I got a neighbor kid that he got a mullet, and he told his parents, he said, this is the only time I'm going to be able to get a mullet because they're not in school, right?
Well, you can't have them in school? Does he go to a unique school?
He goes to a private school.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, his is kick-ass, too. And now...
The girls like the mullets.
He's an older kid.
What's
and,
older?
Well, compared to all the smaller kids in the neighborhood, like my son and my daughter. But now my son looks up to him and he wants a mullet too.
Right on brand.
Yeah, he just looked at him. He's like, dude, that hair's cool. I
do,
want a mullet.
Do the high school or the young girls, are the mullets cool? Because the guys seem to think there is a fraction of guys that seem to think that's cool. But I think that...
Look, if you can pull a chick... With a mullet?
Well, I know there's...
You got game.
Well, I know there's girls that like
maybe
mullets.
Maybe that's part of it.
Are there older women that like mullets?
I think there's parts of the country where that is, in fact, the case, where there's women that are into it. Though I'm with you, Cam, in that in Oregon, or well, at least Western Oregon, it's not so much a very popular thing.
In Lake Oswego, it's probably not a mullet central area. Is that fair?
Oh, no, no.
But long flowing locks could be, because like the baseball guys and all those, yeah, flowing locks is, but not mullets.
You know where this can be traced back to is the rise of lacrosse. Lacrosse and hockey are big mullet sports.
No, I could see that. I didn't know hockey was big here. I know it's kind of, but it's not like it's Midwest.
That's why I said
east.
The rise of lacrosse, because lacrosse is getting more and more popular out this way.
They've been saying that for a decade.
More kids are playing. Oh, it's getting more and more popular.
Right. Yeah.
Out this way, and it's way more popular than hockey is.
Kids love hitting each other with sticks.
Hard to find ice. Ice is hard. Mm. Hockey's cold.
Both of those things, all three of those things that you just said are true.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Ice is hard. It is hard to find ice. And
that was one hairstyle I never thought was going to make a huge trend to a trend of trendy trend.
Mm. I never had a mullet or a rat tail.
Well, rat tail is a whole nother thing. That's a whole different deal. Rat tail is the next. That's a whole different deal.
Your rat tail ratchets up your your white trashiness a lot.
It does. It takes you to the next level. But the mullet can cross over. You can tighten it up. You can pull it back. You can perm it. You can keep it really businessy in the front. Well, you can party it up in the back. It is the most versatile hair you could ever have.
You know what the biggest fraud ever was? When they called it was a mullet, but they called it the Euro faux hawk. Mm. It was a mullet.
Euro faux hawk.
Yeah, it wasn't a mohawk, but it was shorter on the sides and it was longer in the back. Just because you style your mullet doesn't mean it's a different haircut.
It's
still a mullet.
Most famous mullet ever, Brian Bosworth. Athletic mullet ever.
Oh, yeah.
The Bos is what, yeah. Well, I mean, he
Then John Daly.
It.
You got. I
he
mean, John Daly.
His mullet.
Yeah, I would put it over John Daly's because I think John Daly's is more characterized as a bowl cut.
But it was a mullet.
It could be a mullet.
It wasn't a bowl cut. You can't have a bowl cut if it grows all the way down past your neck.
Yeah, you're not calling anything outside of, you know, he's from Arkansas.
Yeah.
So automatically you're siding with, yes, that's
Mike
a
Gundy,
mullet.
Mike Gundy, third?
What about Mario Lemieux? That was one of the first guys. Randy Johnson, anybody?
He didn't have a mullet. His was just greasy
Randy
long.
Johnson had a mullet.
No, man, I'm a Mariner through and through. That was a greasy, long, stringy hair.
All right.
That wasn't a mullet. Mullet's got to be tight.
Head to @Dusty_Hera, and you will see Randy Johnson as a Mariner
long
with
hair,
a mullet.
Long hair. Probably, I mean, you could, maybe it is a mullet. I never thought of it as a mullet with him.
I will say what made Randy Johnson's haircut.
It was great.
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah. Was the mustache.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
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 And I think a mustache is pretty important in that
when
sense.
He did cut his hair, it made his head look really tiny. Remember when he cut his hair when he was a Diamondback and then he was pitching, he was in the World Series in 2000 and it's just like, ooh, he looks tiny. He just still look different. It's like when DeGrom cut his hair. It's like, oh, no, don't do it. Oh, he did it. Still throws 100 miles an hour. Still a good pitcher.
And I will say, I'm looking at a picture of him at his Baseball Hall of Fame ceremony. Yeah. And it's not quite a mullet as it is like Cam's saying. It's a flowing lock.
It's a flowing, greasy locks. It's just, I'm
looks like
feel
he's
pretty
from
good
the
about 80s that.
In this picture.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's very hairbandy, kind of holding on to it, but it's stringy. It was never, you know, the mullets, you just know. It's just tight. It's the Mike Gundy.
I'm telling you right now, this. It was low key. It was Randy Johnson has a very low key long mullet in the photo I will be tweeting out. Also, Andre Agassi had his wig mullet.
Oh, yeah.
His was
wig.
A wig
when
mullet.
When he was a wig, he's cheated. That doesn't, that's totally not fair.
He
totally cheated.
But that's a bold move, Cotton, is to wear a wig and go mullet. That's mm-hmm. next level stuff
mm-hmm.
right there.
Mm-hmm. Him there and Brooke Shields that was the big deal. And then he went on to Steffi Graf, and now I think they're still together. Steffi Graf, power couple, power tennis couple.
You know, there's...
I forgot he dated Brooke Shields.
Oh, yeah, it was a train wreck. Total train wreck.
One thing I wish would come back is the steps in the hair. I thought that would come back before the mullet would. I didn't have a mullet or rat tail. I did have steps in my hair, though. I even had a lightning bolt. Did you ever do the steps?
No.
You're in the mid-90s. That was right up the alley.
Line steps, but I did do for a football for our senior year. We put our football number and our logo into our head, and that might kind of weird.
Your logo?
Well, that's SW. That's not a logo. I'm sorry. School letters. Teacher Woolley. So it was SW on one side and your football number into the other side.
Nice.
That is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I did a mohawk my senior year.
Solid. So you got to go through the. Yeah,
see, that's a total fullback move.
Well, it was less intimidating. It's high school, by the way. Less intimidating. When you're walking around an upper middle class neighborhood with a mohawk, you're not really sending much of a message.
Yeah. Well,
other than there's the weird kid.
Yeah.
Okay. But,
yeah. All right.
See, these are the stories that I hear about Will, and I'm like, how did that Will turn into the Prius driving, non meat eating Will Darkens? These are the questions I have in this world.
He's a teenager. Teenagers do weird stuff. Go
Life's
through their
a funny
changes.
Thing.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a ride we're on, aren't we?
It is a hell of a ride.
Again, I will go back to you had double earrings and puka shells and frosted tips.
Yeah, no.
And turned
full-on bleached hair, sir.
Well, bleached hair. Full and then turned into
hair.
What?
Wait, you had double earrings?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I asked the same question.
Oh, because I was awesome.
Really?
But like, what was...
Because the late 90s and early 2000s were a hell of a time.
But he wanted to be Shaggy. Oh, I'm sorry, Sugar Ray. I wanted to be it.
What was the emulation? Was that it? Was it Sugar Ray?
Oh, no. I would
Matchbox
say it would be
20.
More Eminem than anything else. I would say it was
Slim
more
Shady.
Down the road of Eminem. Yeah. I would say that on the evolution picture there, where it goes from the ape to man.
Yeah.
I would say that I would be somewhere in between where the Backstreet Boys evolve into Eminem. It wasn't.
You
it's
wanted
not
to Justin Timberlake
of.
That thing?
Yeah. I throw in a Hawaiian shirt NSYNC. Every now and then.
Oh, of course. Abercrombie and Fitch. You know what it is
even
now?
I was all over the place, dude.
If you would put an identity on what the youngsters now, you know what it is? It's a hood on all the time. Mm-hmm. A little bit of tuft of hair or a little hat coming out the top. But your hood is on and then it covers your chin and your eyes. That's the look now. I don't get it. That's the look. I don't get it. So mullets... And hooded sweatshirts with your face just barely being able to come out of it. Very bizarre.
It's because your emotions are too great to be shown to the world.
Is that what it is?
You're
you got
tough.
so much to discuss.
I think just when you're a kid, you perceive that you're more of a badass than like what you really are. And then S probably gets real for you. And then you start dressing normal because you're like, oh, I'm not really that tough. I'm not really Justin Timberlake or Eminem.
That's right.
I didn't grow up in
the fashion. When you're Detroit. Younger, you're into the trends. Trends are important when you're young. I mean, I get it. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Get the pants.
And we all go through
mom jeans for the girls. No.
You know, if you don't look back at a picture of yourself in high school and go, oh, God, what was I thinking? Were you doing it right?
Just, you were just part of what everyone else was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just the times have changed. Dude, times have changed. You don't want to look like an old man your entire life. You have plenty of time to be young and dumb.
Right.
All right. Hey, Philip Rivers retired. Speaking of young and dumb,
good
he is
him.
Not that.
He could be a high school coach.
17 years in the National Foosball League. He calls it quits finally.
Coach all his kids. He's coaching the basketball team, which are all his kids, and then the football team, which are all his kids.
Dear God. He's got a full roster. Yeah. Is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer? That question's got to be asked today. Is it money? Is it winning? Both? Why are the best assistants leaving? 503-250-1080. We'll talk about the exodus from the Pac-12 because there was a recent one just yesterday. But where we start this program. Oh, by the way, we have Grabe Neitzel as well. ESPN Milwaukee. We're talking a little NFC Championship game today. Starter previews of the NFC Championship with Grabe Neitzel, who has a morning show in Milwaukee as a Packers getting set for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Gabe will join us at 7:30 this morning. Where we start, though, it's only happened once in the last 15 years. This is fine. This is totally fine. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, hot mullet talk to start the show. My picture photo of Randy Johnson's mullet is up at 1080, or it retweeted at 1080 the fam, at Dusty_Hera. I feel Major League Baseball cheated us all out of the mullet. Great mullet because of the fact he had to wear a hat for his job. So go check that out. It's a great mullet.
What would baseball look like if they didn't wear hats? You can't do that. You got to wear hats. It's all about the hats. But is the flow that has come out of...
That's a hell of a thing. That future game where Ken Griffey Jr., the world went crazy and he wore his hat backwards.
Everybody's like, what? Backwards hat. He's the only one in history that ever looked good in a backwards hat.
Ooh. What age do you stop wearing a backwards hat? I think he's the only adult.
College.
The only adult. Yeah.
College-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're doing something cool like...
Limp Bizkit or something.
White water rafting.
To say there?
Or like wearing sunglasses at the same time.
Or you're
time.
A musician. No. Yeah, you're an artist of some sort.
That's right.
Ooh. Why? Why a musician? Why do you need to turn your hat backwards to sit in a backwards chair or play guitar?
I don't know, because it's who you are as an identity. You know, listen, I'm not going to give you fashion advice. I just think random backwards hat
you're
wearing person,
you're onto something there.
There's unique.
I think also if you're a football coach, you can do backwards hat.
Mm, especially when you
How'd that work out for Matt Patricia?
When you're getting down there to make it through.
How'd that work out?
Is this a Colin Cowherd take? Like
Colin Cowherd take?
Not quarterback eel?
He just represented everything of what's wrong with coaching. First of all, you don't wear a clown shirt of the most important person in your business. And then you go into a place like Detroit, of all places, and claim
Payton
you're
going to
change
it.
Sean Payton never wore a clown shirt.
Yes, he did.
No, he did not. People in the internet tried to say it was underneath, and they tried to make it like
he
was.
Did.
He didn't openly show it.
Definitely
he wore it very big, and you saw fractions of it, but it was never a full display walking off an airplane. And Sean Payton's won a Super Bowl. He can do whatever he wants. Matt Patricia didn't do anything.
You know what's interesting about Patricia and the hat is that he starts the game
with it forward.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like Angus Young. You start in the full uniform, but by the time you're done, you just got the shorts left.
And so I'm wondering at what point and what causes him to actually flip it across that greasy, hairy head of his.
Well, S going wrong and stress. I bet you that is where the hat starts being flipped backwards.
I don't see Matt Patricia getting his doors knocked down for a DC job.
Well, he was a good DC.
Was he?
Well, yeah.
He was good.
Was he?
I mean, yeah. He won multiple Super Bowls.
He didn't win anything. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady did.
Well, I mean, he won.
No, he didn't win anything. He was part of a coaching staff with one of the greatest quarterbacks and the greatest head coach ever. You didn't do anything.
I agree.
You were part of it.
You didn't do anything? No, I think you're being a little harsh on Matt Patricia.
Yeah, because I don't like Matt Patricia, so I'll embrace my hate.
Is it only because of the shirt?
No, it's just he's unprofessional, immature and unprofessional. And disrespectful to a lot of players in the organization. How so
in that regard?
Oh, Matt Stafford and all of it, the way they treated it. Oh yeah, trust me. Oh yes.
Oh, I don't know any of this, so I don't know what he did to Matt Stafford. But it obviously didn't go well for him because he got canned.
No, he burnt the bridges of quite not only quite a few players, but just from the development. From the top to the bottom, all the way through from the general manager all the way down. They tried to tear down an organization, which is already dysfunctional, but to add to the dysfunction and to treat the veterans that way, you just don't do it.
What did he do?
What do you mean, what did he do? Well, you want me to go into details of everything that he did? You want to hear the locker room stories? You want to hear what he said to Matt Stafford?
Well, yeah, I don't know, because I haven't heard any of this. I that would be fascinating.
Well, you don't have friends in the NFL that talk to each other.
Well, no.
I'm not going to reveal my sources. Why don't I'm not a scoop guy. I'm not that way.
All right, well, I
share with you the interpretations and the stories that I have talking to my former athlete friends.
Well, obviously he got canned relatively quickly. So.
Yeah, and now Dan Campbell's in there, who everybody they talk about a locker room guy. He may not be the greatest coach ever, but the guys are going to go to war for him. Nobody walked into a locker room on Sunday and had any interest to go to war for Matt Patricia. Zero.
Can you at least reveal if Patricia smelled bad?
Good question.
Because he looks like he
look
bad.
Like he smells bad?
Horrible.
Mm-hmm. He might. I don't know.
Like,
that's
some
a good
people
question.
Have that
I
look
couldn't.
And that guy has it.
He's the guy that at the end of the game when you're in the road trip, you don't want to see when the coaches are getting in the shower. You're like, you know what? I think you should stay in the coach's shower area. Yeah.
Yes. Are there coaches you want to see get into the shower?
Well, no, because there's only one there's only one showering area. And there is nothing more alarming. There is
really
nothing
weird.
More alarming than when you're in your home stadium, the coaches have their own locker room. But you go on the road, typically everybody's in the same area. So when you go on the road, it's like, oh, I don't know if I wanted to have that experience. It's like when you're young and you go to the workout facility and you go to the train. Who are all the guys that are walking around just don't care, don't give a – the old guys don't care. They don't care. No towels, no nothing. They don't care.
Also, this happened to me when my first road game in Oregon State, and I did find out there is an Oregon State coach that had a huge Snoopy tattoo.
Oh, I thought you were
going to
say something else. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't look down there.
You're going to see something else.
Wait, you obviously did because you saw a Snoopy tattoo on his butt.
Well, it was in the line of vision, you know.
Interesting.
It's alarming when you're a young athlete and you're like, wow, you aren't used to that. I showered in PE when I was in high school as a kid. We all did that. It's what you did, and it's no big deal. But when the coaches come in there that first time when you're in college, you're like, whoa.
Yeah, you're not ready for a grown man naked.
No.
That's not what they tell you at orientation.
Was Woodstock on there, or was it just
no?
Just
it
Snoopy?
Was straight up Snoopy.
Just Snoopy,
and it wasn't Joe Cool or him as a pilot. It was just Snoopy.
Mm. Yeah. Interesting.
Interesting.
And
yeah,
it was
you
large.
See some weird stuff.
So on the cheek or on the upper area?
No, man. It was like half cheek
on the hip,
half like top part of your, or I'm sorry, bottom part of your back.
Wow.
Very odd.
Well, I mean, did anybody ask him what's going on? Like, why?
Or well, no, was he was just naked. I don't think anybody wanted to approach him about that.
Huh. No, I
would have been like,
well, I would have been like, dude, what's up with the
tattoo?
Like, hey, why
coach,
there?
Big Charlie Brown guy.
I would have done that immediately.
You know, big fan of peanuts there, coach. I mean, my goodness. All right.
I just internalized it.
Okay. Well, and that's Hot Coach Talk. I don't know how we got on to
Making the claim of Matt Patricia and how bad of a coach he is. I said it from the first starting he was hired from the players that were in that locker room, the guys that are close to that program, that it was going to be an epic fail from the start. Never deviated off the path, and oh boy. Yeah, I've been wrong. I've been wrong before, but I didn't. You could have seen the writing on the wall with Matt Patricia. And then Will said, should he smell? And then I said, you ever see him in the shower? But there it went.
Yeah, he was one of them coaches. And then we got Snoopy Butt Tats on the Oregon State football coaching staff. So if you have any guesses, go ahead and text Will, 503-250-1080. Also, we've got to get to it. By the way, we will get to CJ's injury at some point in the show. It is a rare injury CJ McCollum has. It's happened only once in the last 15 years in the NBA, and what that may mean. We'll get to that as we talk Blazers, Memphis Grizzlies. Coming up, we'll probably... wrap up the show on that. Nothing to be alarmed with old CJ's foot, though. Only one time. That means it's a rare injury.
Well, then why bring it up?
Not one.
You're starting a rumor.
It's not one.
You're going to scare everybody.
What do you mean?
You're scaring everybody.
Well, it happened once in the last 15 years.
So then it's nothing to be alarmed. Then why are you bringing it up?
Amazing.
Scare people.
Well, the last guy to have it sat out 50 games.
Oh, see, there you go.
But
Sizzler.
Look at you, Mr. Salacious.
But...
you've there heard it here first.
Too. Yeah.
Scoops, right. Gotcha.
50 games, no.
50 games. Dusty's calling it right now. Yeah. It's all his fault. So when it happens, folks, it's just he's the one that brought this up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, actually, I wasn't. It was in street clothes, which breaks down injuries.
Nobody watches
it. Which is crazy. I think a lot of people do. Is it money, winning, or both? Why are the best assistants leaving? 503-250-1080. Here's Will with SportsCenter.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Went to the coast, we get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text Dusty and Cam at 503-250-1080. And get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
503-250-1080. That'd be the Fan text line. Is it the money? Is it the winning or both? Why are the best assistants leaving the Pac-12? Pete Kwiatkowski left UW yesterday to take a job as a defensive coordinator with Steve Sarkisian at Texas. And now you look at, there are four defensive coordinators in the Big 12 alone, I believe, that are from the Pac-12, including Alex Grinch, former Washington State defensive coordinator who's at Oklahoma, and Texas's defensive coordinator now from the University of Washington. Interesting.
And? Why is it interesting?
Well, that you have four of their coordinators in the Big 12, and you see every year we have coordinators leaving. Like the Andy Avalos one you get and you understand, he left for a head coaching gig. But you have guys that are leaving, like when Alex Grinch left Washington State for Ohio State at the time, it wasn't even for a coordinator job. It was for like an assistant gig. And now he's the DC out at Oklahoma. I mean, you have guys that are leaving. What is the reason for the departures?
I think coaching staffs are always going to be shifting and moving and adjusting. I mean, even during my 5 years at the University of Washington, I had three offensive coordinators and three defensive coordinators. So that was just in my five-year career there. So I don't know if that changes as much, but we do know that coaches change, shift, adjust, depending on what they're doing. But now it does feel like Coach Kwiatkowski, he's been at Washington for 7 years. It's not like he's just jumping ship or anything. At this point, he gave off his play-calling duties together with Jimmy Lake after the time with Coach Peterson. They came in together with Jimmy as he'd started to develop. And I think that the relationship has been nothing but spectacular. I mean, from everything that I've heard, he wanted to change. Wanted to change in an opportunity. And so money might be a little bit, but he was one of the only coordinators set here in the Pac-12 to reach above the seven-figure mark. I think it was going to be close to 1.1 this year. I think Coach Avalos was going to be under $1 million. I think he was close to, what, 850, right around in that. So I don't know if Oregon will step up their pool when they hire their new defensive coordinator and offer above and beyond, because Jim Leavitt made a lot of money. They offered him a lot of money.
1.7.
Yeah, he made quite a bit. I would say that there might be a combination of two things. First is the chance to be able to recruit and be around a freedom of we do whatever we need and we have no restrictions. Not in a sense of cheating, but there's a sense of being in an all-in conference or an all-in program. Because Texas, it's not going to matter your money. It's not going to matter your facilities, any types of things that you need. Everything's there. The athletes, the community that's all in, the family, the people around you. It is a football school, football. There's nothing else. So you're 100% all in. Now, the pressure is going to be a little bit more than it would be in a Pac-12. But I think some guys, and I said this the other day, and I believe this, you got to reinvent yourself every couple years. You got to re-challenge. Now, some like to stay. Some can be like a Coach Shaw who want to stay around and be an elite coach in your area, and you feel comfortable. You like what you do. Nothing wrong with that. Others want to push themselves or want to change, and they get comfortable, and you know, you sit in the same area. Maybe your kids are gone, and like, you know what? Maybe let's go try something new. Let's go be part of Texas. Let's see if we can knock off Oklahoma a couple times. Let's bring this organization and this whole university back to prominence, and you want to be challenged. I can respect that tremendously for coaches that want to do that.
You know, it's also interesting that this has been an assistant coach hotbed where, you know, coaching hasn't been the issue out west, because if you look at guys that have moved on and guys have been plucked and gone and had success elsewhere, it has been a lot of those Pac-12 roots. And now you're looking at there is a little bit more stability in coaching with people stinking around in the Pac-12. But is that necessarily a great thing when, you know, the Tennessee job's open and there isn't a single candidate that's out there right now that's being rumored that is from out west?
Yeah.
Isn't that surprising to you? Because usually like, really. You have these hot jobs that come up and it's like, well, you can go and you can get, you know, whether it's Mario Cristobal, although he's off the board because he just signed an extension there. Mm-hmm. You know, is there anybody else that's really sexy or a name that anybody thinks? Like, nobody wants Clay Helton. Chip Kelly seems to run his course. David Shaw said no so many times. Nobody wants to go out and even see about him. Justin Wilcox is an interesting one, even with the Tennessee vacancy, that nobody is trying to kick down his door and see about getting him out of Berkeley and maybe going back to a place where he was a coordinator before.
Because you don't get to showcase your abilities here as coaches in this last couple seasons, especially in this season. You know, Matt Campbell does it at Iowa State, and he's a hot name. You get to see names across in the Big Ten, names in the ACC, the SEC. The SEC is more about your recruiting grounds and your relationships. I don't know how many West Coast guys have great recruiting and relationships built into the Tennessee area, because you got to recruit the South very, very well. So your network, you got to be able to call up 10 people and say, I can get this guy and this guy and this guy immediately. So there's got to be a connection. I think that's always where you start first. And the SEC is trying to battle and battle it up against Alabama. The other schools that do it is you look out here and out west, is that now you just have to be really successful out here and be very good to be nationally recognized. So, but the coaches aren't going to get the same kind of pay here as they would somewhere else. You know, a coordinator that makes $500,000 here might get $1.5 somewhere else. When then talk about the cost of living and talk about being at a school where your school presidents, your chancellors, your athletic director, and everybody do everything for you to be able to win football games. Well, it's not that way here. It's a little bit different here. There's a little bit more less money because the conference doesn't have as much money. And money makes the world go round, especially in college football.
This texter is saying that the Pac-12 has now become a stepping stone job, that any job that you get in there would possibly be a stepping stone job.
It's kind of always been that way, right?
Mm.
I mean,
it's hard. It's really hard, man. That is stepping stone. Stepping stone, I look at as, I don't know if it's disrespectful to throw out a whole conference as a stepping stone, but I might have a hard time arguing against that right now, the way it sits.
Yeah, I mean, the only one that you can see leaving a higher profile job and coming back this way was Lane Kiffin leaves Tennessee to come to USC, though.
Correct.
I mean, that was the last time somebody left this conference or left another big-time conference to come back this way. You know, and if you want to say Herm Edwards is a big name, well, Herm Edwards is a guy that it was kind of like, well, yeah, he ran his course and he's only getting the job because his buddy and his former agent is the AD at Arizona State. He's done a good job there, though. 503-250-1080. Why are the best assistants gone now? Pete Kwiatkowski leaves UW, goes down, joins up with Sark. Dustin Cam on the Fan. 503-250-1080. That to be the Fan text line. We're talking about Pete Kwiatkowski. He takes the lateral move and goes to Texas. I guess it's a lateral move because he's just the same position with Sark. But we've seen Andy Avalos takes the Boise State job. You understand that. It seems like the Pac-12, is the Pac-12 conference a stepping stone? That was a tough one for you to answer in the last segment because, look, there are guys that often leave the Pac-12 for greener pastures elsewhere, whether it is the Big 12 or SEC or Big 10.
Well, it's hard because you don't want to admit reality. You don't want to admit that you've been beat. And that is hard because I love this conference because that's where my heart and soul and blood was part of how it was born. And so the connection will always be there. So I'm not going to deviate. But I'm also a realist also, too. And I get where this conference is at. It's behind. It's fifth. Mm-hmm. And it's a distant fifth until there can be a resurgence of finance and leaders. And you go into all that. Everyone that listens to the show kind of know how I feel. I don't want to get on the soapbox of what's wrong. What we want to try to say is, are coaches leaving because they see the writing on the wall too? There's always going to be great coaches that are willing to take the plunge here and get a job. But at some point in time, you start to go, wow, you watch the other places and you say, okay, they're all in. So maybe we can win there. Because you do want to win as a college. And some also wake up every day and they want to develop young men. They want to develop these young guys to get a better life. They want to have them to have college degrees and see what it's like to compete and the brotherhood that's important too. And others just want a new challenge. But you know, Chris Peterson left because he was exhausted. He was diagnosed with both anxiety and depression. He wanted to take care of his son that had special needs. There were a lot of decisions that he left that whole program. And Jimmy Lake steps in and Coach Kwiatkowski said, you know what, Jim, it's yours. Maybe he wants his own opportunity. And this is another step in him getting a job as a head man soon after he goes to Texas. Who knows?
Here is my question. In the Pac-12 right now, who is the, because we've always had this in this conference, who's the hot coordinator? Who's the hot name?
Well, the fact that I can't say it off the top of my head shows you the issue.
Well, yeah, I would say that if you're talking about...
Don't give me an air raid offense because that's not sexy anymore.
Well, I mean...
It's not.
Graham Harrell's getting head coaching buzz, but they're for smaller jobs.
Mm-hmm. Utah State.
Is it Joe Moorhead, who is a former head coach and a guy who's, you know, kind of done it all?
How many Oregon offensive coordinators have left... Do you know off the top of your head and got head jobs?
Well,
you could technically say Chip Kelly.
Well, Chip Kelly, Mark Helfrich are two.
No. Outside of Oregon. Like a head, like they've had they've been a part of Oregon, had an offensive coordinator and left and got a head job.
Well, Marcus Arroyo. But that's the thing about Oregon is they had staff stability for so long.
Right. Yeah, they were stable for so long.
And they like nobody was leaving at all.
Right,
if you want to talk about.
Right.
Where did Gary Croton go after Oregon? Because he got kind of pushed to the side for Chip.
Well, which college do you think develops the best coaches? That's the other thing you have to ask. We all know Nick Saban and what they do there and his rehabilitation, but the development to be around the best players and to learn to be around Nick Saban, what college here in the Pac-12 develops the best coaches and gives them the chance to shine and go on to other places? I mean, that's usually the top programs. You would say USC, Oregon, and Washington. You would say those three programs you're looking to because they've had the most success the last decade.
Yeah, and the sneaky one that's in there is...
Utah, sorry.
The sneaky one that's in there is Stanford, too. Because Stanford has had a lot of coaches move on to great jobs that you're just like, but it flies under the radar because they're not going to take these head coaching jobs, but they're going to take like coordinator jobs in the NFL or, you know, like Greg Roman, or they're moving on to the National Football League where you're going, what the heck is happening there? And following it because they do have that pipeline with David Shaw's connections through the NFL, Jim Harbaugh's obvious connections through the NFL. And the way that they've just kind of moved assistants up into the National Football League, and they've had stability at their coordinator. So,
someone on the text line also mentioned that Scott Frost technically was an OC.
Sure. Yeah, that's a good one. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yep. Central
that's
Florida,
a good one.
And then now Nebraska.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that has happened quite often there at Oregon. But we don't have that guy right now. It probably is Joe Moorhead. Is that guy who is going to be a head coach because he was already a head coach. Graham Harrell, another one there. But,
well,
I mean, nobody's looking towards Andy Ludwig.
People want, you know, these programs want They want a little. They want young. They want young. Okay, they want the youth of, and oh, Mike Leach hired, and you go to the SEC is interesting because when the top coaches end up leaving, but Sark was offered Pac-12 jobs. He didn't want it. He knew. He's like, if I'm going to be around the best, I need to be part of the best. He didn't take the Colorado job. He got offered multiple jobs around the country. But what was it? What was it about the Pac-12? I mean, Colorado was jumped. I mean, from their coach, 1 year done. I'm going to go to Michigan State. You just go, why? And what will be the future for as we look for the development, or if we say stepping stone, I'm going to have to be okay with that. Yeah. If you're a development conference where you let other coaches and them shine and they go off to have success, I want to see that. I do. I want to see that.
You know, there is something to, I think if you're talking the young names in the Pac-12 conference that could be head coaches, there's a guy who, outside of Graham Harrell, Arizona State's offensive coordinator, Zach Hill, is an interesting name and an interesting dude because he's only 40, mm-hmm. which is young still, I mean, in the coaching ranks.
Sure.
But he started at Hillsborough High School, where he was a head coach out at Hillsborough High School. He's been to Hawaii, Boise State, now at Arizona State. He's kind of bounced around. That dude has been kind of the meteoric rise that he went through from being a high school coach to Eastern Washington to Hawaii to Boise, now Arizona State. That might, and that's, I mean, that's kind of, that's a stretch right there of the next head coach that you, when you say everybody wants to go young, you're 100% right. I mean, then would you throw?
Well, they're trying to say that young is easier to get closer to the young athletes. Like they're relating better to that. Like the old style, like some of these older styles, like none of us have Nick Saban in his ability. Just he just connects in some of the across and how these.
Well, he's built a machine that you can't.
Correct. And so it's not fair to compare that. That's it's on its own animal. But if you're looking here on the West Coast, what's the fastest way to get all these young athletes to come to your program?
McDonald's bags full of cash.
As long as there's an Egg McMuffin in it?
Yeah, true. I don't know how it got in there. By the way, you mentioned Nick Saban. He did it again. Not only does he have Bill O'Brien as his OC, which is a good move, but apparently he's going to hire Doug Marrone as his offensive line coach.
He gets great coaches.
Doug Marrone. He gets great coaches. People may laugh at him for how it ended in Jacksonville. Regarded as one of the best offensive line minds, but when he was the coach at Syracuse, and then he was an offensive line wizard. That's his thing. And now he's going to Alabama.
There's a lot.
My God.
Finding great offensive line coaches. I would put Bill Callahan as one of the greatest offensive line coaches ever been around. He's with what he was able to do with Cleveland this year. It's incredible. Doug Marrone, unbelievable offensive line coaches.
Scarnecchia.
So, yeah. Dante, of course, Dante Scarnecchia. I mean, he never really left around, so you didn't get to see him in other than one place, but just, finding an O-line coach that can do Nick Saban. They all come to him because they know once they go to Nick Saban, there's an instantaneous bump in credibility.
503-250-1080. That is the Fan text line. More of your texts coming up as the show goes on. Well, Gabe Neitzel, who ESPN Milwaukee, we'll talk a little Green Bay Packers getting set for the NFC Championship game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the NFL playoffs feel normal right now. Will the rest of sports? Dustin Cam on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.